Hello, and welcome to The Graveyard Shift with Grace. Today, we're going to talk about Elijah P. Lovejoy and his work in Alton and for abolitionism. Now, Alton is one of the most haunted towns down the Mississippi. Mark Twain has been known to call the place a dismal little river town. One of the most notorious parts of Alton was its history of the Civil War and the Underground Railroad. One of the most tragic events in the history of Alton occurred on November 7th, 1837, with the brutal murder of abolitionist and newspaper publisher Elijah P. Lovejoy. While the events surrounding his death aren't widely talked about today, his death surrounded the abolitionist's cause and helped start America on its path to the Civil War. It's also created a ghost story that's been passed down through the centuries. Elijah Lovejoy, who eventually came to be known as the first martyr to freedom, came to the West from Maine and settled with his family in St. Louis. When he arrived in 1827 to teach school, he was warmly received by citizens. Eventually, his views about the abolitionist movement in America would soon wear out his welcome in the pro-slavery state of Missouri. For a short time, he taught school and began to make a name for himself as a writer. Eventually, he would give up his career as a teacher and make his way to becoming a Presbyterian minister. After completing his studies at the seminary, he returned to St. Louis and started a religious newspaper called the St. Louis Observer. Articles with an anti-slavery bent began appearing in the newspaper in 1834, and despite warnings from a number of prominent citizens, continued to appear into 1835. Threats began to come from angry slave owners who feared for his family's safety. He sent his wife and son to her mother's home in St. Charles and made plan to move his newspaper to Alton, Illinois. He arrived in Alton in late July 1836. He sent for his family with the hopes that the Free State of Illinois would provide a better environment for his abolitionist work, but that was not to be. On July 23rd, a steamboat delivered Lovejoy's new printing press to the Alton docks, and shortly before dawn, a group of vandals wrecked the press and dumped it into the river. A short time later, another press was also destroyed. It is the story surrounding the arrival of the fourth printing press that inspired the ghostly legend of Elijah Lovejoy. On November 7th, 1837, Lovejoy's final printing press was delivered to the Alton docks and was taken to a warehouse along the river that belonged to the Godfrey Gilman and Company. Lovejoy and a number of his friends gathered at the warehouse with guns to defend the press, but the day passed without incident. Later that night, however, a mob gathered outside the warehouse. Most of them were intoxicated, and they called loudly for the press to be surrendered to them. Once that demand was refused, they tried a different approach and used rocks to shatter the windows of the warehouse. Several members of the mob waved guns, and Lovejoy, or someone else inside the building, fired a shot through a broken window. One of the men outside crumpled to the ground, and the mob enraged. They stormed the warehouse, intent on revenge. Someone placed a ladder against the building and climbed to the roof, a burning torch in his hand. Lovejoy ran outside with a pistol and ordered the man to come down. Before he could fire his own weapon, several men in the crowd opened fire on the editor and he was hit 5 times. After he fell to the ground and died, the defenders inside the warehouse surrendered. The mob pushed its way inside and broke the printing press in. And broke the printing press into pieces, and then flung the remnants into the Mississippi River. Lovejoy's body was left in the warehouse overnight. The next day, a grave was hastily dug in a local cemetery, and the body, without a proper ceremony, was thrown in and haphazardly covered up. Some years later, Lovejoy's body was exhumed and moved to another location. Today, a fine monument stands in tribute to the fallen abolitionist, and while he is highly regarded in these less troubled times, his death was never avenged. The tragedy of the Lovejoy murder spawned what seemed like a curse to many of Alton's citizens. Property values in the city shrank, and when the tales of the riots spread across America, the press attacked from all directions. The abolitionist papers loudly condemned the city, as did the free press, which feared the rights of the First Amendment were in jeopardy. The court proceedings surrounding the affair made the city look even more corrupt. At a January 1838 session of the Alton Municipal Court, A grand jury brought indictments against both Lovejoy's defenders and some of the rioters. The cases later came to trial, and Lovejoy's friends were acquitted of all charges, but so were the members of the mob. Alton was branded a lawless place, and thanks to this, new settlers avoided the area and many current residents packed up and moved out. Believing that Alton had little future, it would be years before the city struggled back to life. Legend states that the Godfrey Gilman and Company warehouse was never used again after the terrible events of 1837. The place was avoided for the simple reason that it was believed to be haunted. Local dock workers and freight wagon drivers who would occasionally pass by the place at night, spreading tales of mysterious lights that were seen shining in the windows and of our cries, shouts, and gunshots that would echo in the darkness. Others claim that the terror experienced there left an impression on the area that reverberated for years. Many who visited the location claim to feel the madness of the crowd, the desperation of Lovejoy and his friends, and the energy pulsing through the entire incident. Most eerie were the tales of a spectral figure that would exit the side door of the building and begin to run along the street. The figure would then stumble, clutch his hands to his chest, and fall to the ground. It was believed that this figure was the ghost of Elijah Lovejoy, reliving his final moments over and over again. The spirit is said to have roamed the riverfront in despair for many years, but the ghostly tale came to an end with the destruction of the warehouse, and with the proper burial of Lovejoy's missing body. Fearing reprisal and desecration of his corpse, Lovejoy's friends had secretly buried his body in what was then a small cemetery in town. A wooden marker with Lovejoy's initials on it was first used to mark the grave, but this was quickly removed. After that, only two distinctive trees remained as a rough guide to the grave's location. After the cemetery came into general use, the trees were cut down, and the grave would have been lost if not for the superintendent. After the cemetery came into general use, the trees were cut down, and the grave would have been lost if not for the superintendent, William Burden. He marked the site with two pieces of limestone and told no one what they were for, or even that a muse was buried at the site, and then he died, leaving no clue as to Lovejoy's whereabouts. In 1865, Thomas Dimmick, a former resident of Alton, decided to try and track down the abolitionists' names. He sought out the last survivor of those who buried Lovejoy, William Scotch Johnson, and learned the location of the remains. Lovejoy's grave was properly recognized at last, and his restless ghost was finally laid to peace and rest. Today, we talked about Elijah Lovejoy and his ways of being an abolitionist and helping people throughout the Underground Railroad. His way of writing and creating helped create a start for the abolitionist movement and was the upstart for the Civil War. I hope you have a wonderful day today, and thank you for coming to the Graveyard Shift. Grace.